Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I got an old man rant.
Oh, okay.
I'm kind of sick
You're
of it.
You're 50 now, so you can do it.
Am I allowed to do this?
Let it rip.
It's kind of like joining the senior tour on the PGA when you turn 50. You're allowed to do these?
Yep.
Good Lord, I am so sick and freaking tired of having to find blame every time something happens. Listen to this again from Ross Tucker.
You know, Mac Jones was playing well. They were winning those games. Purdy's your big money guy. You know, there are medical competitive advantages and disadvantages in the NFL. And, you know, if they put Purdy back and he aggravated it, now he has to miss a gigantic game against the Rams. That is not good. You know, you need to trust your medical people when they say he can go out there and be fine and not make it worse, not re-aggravate it. He's good to go. Clearly, that wasn't the case. So, you know, I don't know if you blame the player, the organization, the trainers, the doctor, all the above, but clearly, you know, he wasn't 100% and didn't play like a guy that was 100%. And now I don't think he'll play tomorrow night. You put all that stuff together, I think that's a bad look for the 49ers.
I love Ross, but I can't stand that sentence when he goes, I don't know if you blame the doctors or the team or the player or the – will you stop blaming people when someone gets hurt playing football? What are we talking about? The Buccaneers are the 49ers' next opponent after this. Guess what? Mike Evans, hamstring. Bucky Irving, in a walking boot. Baker Mayfield last week, questionable.
Tristan Wirfs. Yep.
Kristen Godwin has missed most of the last 2 years. Why on earth would you play football and blame someone when there's an injury? And then he goes, at one point he's like, well, you got to listen to your medical staff. You don't think they did? I'm pretty sure the medical staff cleared him.
Right.
They cleared him. He practiced 6 times. Before he went out and played last week and stated that he was pain-free. Like, I just, why? Is it social media? What is it? Why does every single thing that happens right now when it comes to sports, we've got to circle back around and go, who do you want to blame? How about no one? How about when Rafi Devers comes to the Giants and they go into a tailspin? How about crap happened? How about let's try to play better tomorrow? How about, damn it, that's a bad break. I wish that didn't happen. Imagine if you took into your home the stuff that we do to these sports teams. Every single time any kid gets a bad grade, all right, let's gather around. Who do we blame? I don't know, man. Let's do this. Let's do every day. And as Buster said today, as Zach said today, make the best decision you can with the information that you've got available at that time, which I firmly believe is what the 49ers did. But no. We've got to crap on everybody because someone got hurt playing football. It's crazy to me.
It's crazy to me to think about, well, the medical staff, when it comes to this, a return to play, if the medical staff is saying, I don't think he should play, we don't want to clear him. I don't think that in this day and age, the coach, not too bad, And Brock says, nope, too bad, I'm playing. That to me feels like of extreme rarity. I've never been a pro football player, so I don't know. Week four in the regular season would be different than a win and in game or a wild card game. Yeah, you might have different decisions that are made at that point, but I thought my comps to what we're going to see, Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, yep, those guys are, yep, they're both limited, and Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to come back, so all eyes on him on Sunday, and whether or not that sprained knee couldn't get re-sprained and all right, the rest of it. And, you know, Lamar Jackson is such an explosive athlete, and he's got a hamstring. And your point about George Kittle is a good one, where after tomorrow, his stint on the IR is up. 4 weeks, he was there. He can be reactivated. He can be cleared to play 9 days later. And if he comes back at that point and they say, you know what, George, you look pretty good, I think you're good to go, and he goes out there and re-aggravates his hamstring, are we going to then go to the Niners and say, well, I mean,
I wouldn't do
you
it.
You mismanaged it.
I wouldn't do it. I'd wait till at least Christmas. Actually, yeah, you know what? Didn't they sign George Kittle to a new deal?
Yeah.
I'd
yeah,
save him for next year.
Same thing with Brandon Ayuk then.
Too important.
Ayuk is coming back after surgery on two ligaments in his knee. There's going to be a point where he's cleared to return. I don't know if you should play him.
I love it.
You know what? They should just tell Brandon, we're really concerned about your knee. We're going to pay you throughout the remainder of your contract, but we don't want you to play. Because if you get re-injured, we can't handle the criticism. Is that cool with you, Brandon? Brandon. Hey, Brandon, did we lose you?
It's football.
Dominic Pooney, we talked to John Feliciano yesterday. Dominic Pooney got hurt in a preseason game.
Yep.
His knee is probably still not right. And he's getting eviscerated.
Yeah, he's not playing well.
By fans, he's not playing well. I'm not saying it's because the knee, but I think he's out there playing on a bum knee, and yet we're not all crying about Dominic Pooney and a possible knee injury to him because he's not the quarterback. He's a guard.
It's weird, isn't it? My mind is just running through like a bunch of different scenarios where this is the case. And, you know, Kevin Durant went out and risked his entire career. And the Warriors cleared it, and nobody says boo because it was the NBA Finals. And they go, dude, what a Warrior. You went out there and you did the damn thing. Now, it's a fair response to say, well, this is only week four. Sure, but what I would respond and say in that particular case is, you understand that in football, like, dude, you get 17 of these, and the mentality is completely different. Not only do you only get 17 a year, the average NFL career lasts about 2 to 3 years. I mean, for most NFL players, you might get 50 games in your life. In your life. And you're going to go out there at like a high level of percentage. Like, it might hurt, but you can function. You can go do it, and you're going to just be like, nah, let's save it for later. Like, man.
I think about Apollo Creed from Rocky III. There is no tomorrow.
Thank you. These careers are ice cream cones in the sun, man. You better lick that thing right now. I don't know what this whole, like, let's save it for later thing is. I'm not saying be irresponsible, but I don't think they are. These are professional doctors, coaches, players. These are adults that sit down and they weigh the risks. And they're going to get it wrong sometimes, I guess. Or bad things are going to happen sometimes. I think that's the better way to say it. But is this really what we're going to do? The softness of let's just keep bottling everybody up and saving them for later. But if you do try to fight, if you do try to go get a win for your team, if you go try to, like, you know, play for your contract, if you go do that and you get hurt again, man, we are going to be ready to rip you to shreds for trying. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't even understand it.
Many of the people who are saying, oh, yeah, you shouldn't have played Brock, you know, that was reckless. A lot of those people are the same ones who don't think Brock is very good, or that Brock is overpaid, or that Brock won't earn the $53 million a year that he's going to get next year. So that, to me, runs anathema or counter to your own argument. If he's not that good, then who cares if he goes out and gets his toe hurt? Because he's not that good. And if he's really good, then you should not play him. But a lot of people think he's not very good. So why are you so worried about the toe if you don't think he's very good anyway?
Excellent point. Yeah, let's go to Ralph B. in San Rafael. Hi, Ralph. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, you know what? Again, I'm calling. I think, the best afternoon sports show in the country. I want to say thank you guys for that. That's number one. But number two, you guys are pretty prescient in regards to the fact that you've basically already answered the question I was going to ask, which was about the toe, right? So I'm going to change my question just a little bit for this situation. And I'm going to ask you guys, as I always do, to put your coaches' hats on, because that's what I like to hear from you guys, at least me personally. With everything that you guys said, especially Willard, because Willard, we know where you stand. We know where you stand. When do you say, I'm going to put Brock on the sideline and say, hey, let him go ahead and get healthy, and we're going to make that decision to move on. Not necessarily move on, but we're going to make a decision to go with someone else and protect this $50 million asset that we have. That's my question, and I'll take it offline. I appreciate you guys.
Sure.
Thanks, Ralph. Ralph, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a very, very easy thing to answer. And it is, as soon as I don't believe that Brock Purdy gives you the best chance to win. So if he is so injured that whatever portion of him is like less than Mac Jones, if he's going to hurt the team by being out there, then I don't want him out there. And if doctors tell me that this injury is not ready to play on or dangerous to play on,
yeah,
that like, again, there is some subjectivity to all of this. There's some guesswork, even from professionals. Doctors can sit there and look at it. Does that hurt? No. Okay, I think you're good to go. Whoops, I guess you weren't ready to go. But like, I don't ask for perfection on that, but it's very easy to me. If doctors feel like it's safe to go out there and play, if the player feels good or good enough, and that player gives you the best chance to win because they're at least a good enough version of themselves, you play. When the answers to those are no, you don't.
Well, it's safe and it's also effective. And I was thinking about Greg Cosell, who joined us earlier today, and he said, well, guys, I can't look at the film and make the determination whether or not the toe was a limiting factor in the fact that he didn't play well. I don't do that. I just look at the tape. Doc Chow, who you've mentioned many times, former Charger team doctor, who's now a social media doctor, said at halftime, ooh, I can tell that the toe is an issue. So the Niners, I'm sure, look at the film only a couple times because it's a Monday and you play on Thursday, but they look at it and they see floated passes. They see him not running as much. They see him not driving into throws, and they ask him, hey, Brock, I know the toe hurts. Was the toe keeping you from really stepping into throws, and was the toe keeping you from scrambling and running? And he can say, you know what, yeah, I didn't feel like I could really push off it. I had that plate in my shoe, and I wasn't used to it. And, you know, after the game, my toe hurt a lot more than it did at the start of the game. So, yeah, if those reasons are all check boxes by the Niners and the doctor and Brock, then it becomes an easy solution as far as whether or not you play on Thursday.
I agree. I mean, here's the other thing. This is what's funny. Let's play this scenario out. Let's go ahead and go backwards for a second. Let's play it out.
Okay.
For everybody who wants to line up and be like, you dummies, you shouldn't have played him on Sunday. All right. First of all, if you didn't want to play him on Sunday, because as it turns out, he should have been, quote, too injured to play on Sunday, why the hell would he so for sure be perfectly ready to go 4 days later? And if you thought the injury affected his performance negatively on Sunday, why wouldn't it have negatively affected his performance tomorrow night? And therefore, why would you have wanted him in the game tomorrow night? Do you want him out there floating passes against the Rams instead of the Jaguars? You know, the other factor into this that still nobody wants to talk about is I'm pretty sure that Mac Jones was not ready to play last Sunday. So eager to hand this over to someone you've all never watched play football. Like, I'm sure the kid's a nice kid. I don't hate his future prospects for a career. I have no idea. I have no interest in Adrian Gonzalez.
Martinez.
Thank you. I don't know why I keep calling him Adrian Gonzalez.
He's a good slugger with the Padres for a long time.
I have no interest in that person playing football in one of the games for the Niners. Why is this even interesting to you? Like, why would you want third, fourth, fifth string players out there quarterbacking games for the Niners? I am much more interested in watching the players I know. Like, even if you're not a hundo, man, fight through it. And they tried, and they lost. And now he's not ready to play tonight. Okay. But if you thought he shouldn't have played Sunday, I don't know, dude. You're 4 days away from saying he shouldn't have played tomorrow night, too.
And I like the way you put that, because let's say that Sunday he was at 80%, and you're thinking, okay, I'm not sure if you're ready to go. And you get to Thursday, you're not suddenly going to be at 100%. I don't think that four additional days would have gotten his turf toe from where he was able to play, but not as good as you thought. 4 days later, he's not going to be suddenly amazingly healed. He probably would be in about the same spot, right? And taking on a better defense. Jacksonville has a good defense, but the Rams are even better. So the four-day factor is actually, I think, a good way to look at it, because if he was, in your mind, not ready for Sunday, well, then he's probably still not ready for Thursday. So then you hold him out until Tampa, which is another 10 days after the Thursday, and you hope at that point, okay, now you're ready. And the other piece of it was what you said about Mac Jones. The guy finished the game in week three with a knee brace.
Good walk.
Right. Neither one of them is going to be 100%. And I wonder about Mac tomorrow, whether or not he even comes out with the brace on.
I don't know. I mean, they have no injury designation. That doesn't mean that he's not in pain. Brock Purdy had no injury designation, but
sure,
apparently he's in some pain.
Well, and you only have to have injury designation if you're limited in practice. And if you're a full go at practice, and it's kind of a curious one this week because you're not really practicing. So Mac Jones can be a full participant and still be kind of gimpy because you're not out there running around and practicing, really.
We're talking about the Niner injury situation on 95.7 The Game, and it's presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It's been great already today. Go to the Odyssey app or YouTube if you want to hear any of what we've had earlier. Al Michaels on the show, Greg Cosell on the show, Giants general manager Zach Manassian, all on the show today. And now talking it out with you, 888-957-9570. Brandon in Walnut Creek is next up. Hi, Brandon. Thanks for the call.
Hi, thank you very much. So I wanted to quote the Oracle, Deion Sanders, briefly. And he was asked about NIL money and players sitting out of bowl games. So it doesn't necessarily apply to injuries in the NFL, but there are some similarities where he said, this is pay-per-view, and we are paying to view you playing football. So, you know, if a player is good to go, then by all means, they should be, you know, in a lineup. But that was his perspective. I thought it was interesting. Again, that was on NIL, not injuries. But I'll hear your comments off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, Brandon, thanks. Again, in an inexact science, there's no perfect way to do this. Yes, some people are going to re-injure things. But that's just the way I look at it. I don't look at the Jags game as a nothing. Of course, the Rams game is more important. But this idea of sit him out then so that you definitely have him 4 days later, I just think is a fallacy, number one. Plus, if he didn't play well against the Jags, why is it that you're so hot after having him play against the Rams? If it's still bothering him, it would in theory bother him there too. But in a more general sense, I am a fan of people fighting through stuff. I don't think there's an NFL player that doesn't do that. I don't think that, like, I know we think, oh, you're healthy. Oh, the Rams are healthy tomorrow night. No, they're not. They're in terrible pain. They just played a game 3 days ago.
Right.
They're all in terrible pain. But they're going to fight through this thing and try to win a divisional game tomorrow night, as are the 49ers, who are, quote unquote, healthy enough to give this a whirl.
And Juwan Jennings has already been injured, I think, three times. He had the shoulder, Then he had the knee, and now he's got the ribs. And, yeah, I'm not stunned that he's not going to play tomorrow night because of the shot he took on that two-point conversion, but the guy's been already suffering through three different injuries, and as soon as those ribs are good enough to go, the shoulder, I think, is a thing of the past, and the knee, who knows, but he's going to be out there. Juwan Jennings will not be 100% again this season.
Probably
he's
not.
He's gotten three injuries, yep. And that's not even to mention the calf, remember?
Yep.
The calf.
Which is tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calves are tricky.
Calf.
And trades are hard. So calf, shoulder, knee, ribs. That's your Juwan Jennings season recap.
That's most of the body parts.
Got to be delicate with those calves.
Yeah, trades are hard.
Yeah. And so he's back out there. Kyle Juszczyk got a concussion, played eight more snaps, went in the tent, missed the rest of the game. And he played a week later.
Next week.
He played a week later.
Caught a touchdown.
And you think he's 100%?
No.
2 weeks removed from a concussion. So on and on it goes. Kittle will come back, and he won't be at 100%, having missed a month with a hamstring. And so, yeah, just because he's the quarterback and he's about to make $53 million a year, do we treat him differently? Kind of. But at the same time, if he's good enough to play, he plays.
I don't know. Maybe we should just wait till next year. I don't want anybody else to get hurt.
No.
That'd be right? Like, I've had enough. Have you had your fill of injuries?
I have, yeah.
All right. Let's go with the practice squad. Let's protect these guys.
Squad it up.
I mean, or maybe they try to pull something off. And maybe next month, maybe they will be healthier than they are now. They'll still be in pain. They'll still have to fight through it. But maybe it will go better. I'm old enough to remember that sometimes injuries early in the season, they can be a blessing. The Warriors don't win the title 3-4 years ago, in my opinion, if Steph Curry doesn't get a bunch of rest leading up to the playoffs. Sometimes injuries in season can be a blessing. Sometimes lost seasons because of injury can become a blessing. Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, you get Nick Bosa. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but like, you got to go week to week, and in my opinion, you got to fight, man. You got to try.
You got to go out there and be tough. Honestly.
Thank you, Go.
When was the last time Trent Williams was healthy? 2015.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the answer.
About 6 years ago, maybe.
Probably longer.
Maybe longer.
And he's out there.
Maybe never.
Right. And he's already out there battling injury, but he's going to play through it. Fred Warner played 13 games on a fractured ankle. So we do this because it's the quarterback. And, you know, we do it because he's about to make $53 million and the rest of it. But to me, it's not franchise malpractice that he went out there and tried to play through a toe and it got worse.
No, and in fact, what some of you are suggesting without even realizing it is load management in the NFL. That's actually what you're calling for. I don't feel good. We should protect me for later in the year. So let's sit a couple out. We hate that. We freak out about it. We scream at the NBA for doing this. No one would ever knowingly do that in the NFL. The games are too big. There's too few of them. But it's what some of you are saying. He doesn't feel perfect. So wrap him up. Let's wrap him up and save him for later. That's load management.
Yep.
That's what that is. And I'm like, the suggestion is out there all over the place that that's what the Niners should be doing.
And
I'm out on that.
And that's why I'm thinking, like, okay, if Brock Purdy misses October and you're hoping come November 2nd at the New York Giants that he'll be back and ready and that toe will be fixed. Well, you lose to the Rams, you lose at Tampa, you gut it out against Atlanta, and then you lose to Houston that has a pretty darn good defense. So now you're 4-4. And you're in a world of hurt, but here comes Brock, and the toe's at 91% now.
Not enough.
Yep, not good enough.
I'm going to save him.
Probably for another month.
At least.
Then coming out of the bye, you got 4 games left, and you'll be 5-8. You can run the table and have a winning record now. What are we doing?
Do y'all know that the year the Niners went to the Super Bowl, Brock was in terrible pain for the first 6 weeks of the season? He has stated this publicly.
That was after he had the surgery.
Coming off of
the
UCL surgery. He started that game in Pittsburgh and admitted afterwards they didn't know how the hell it was going to look. I can't believe they put him out there. They should have saved him. Oh, wait. The Niners started 5-0 and ended up in the Super Bowl because he fought through it and it went well. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't. Welcome to this thing we call life.
Well, Prince there from you. I like that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Impressive.
It's getting late.
yeah.
Jay in Oakland. Hi, Jay. What are you doing? Thanks for the call.
Stuck in traffic. So I'm on my way home listening to you guys.
Damn it.
I actually love you.
Oh, okay. Well, then good. Thank you for traffic. That gives us a little more time with you, Jay.
Makes it so much better. Hey, I just want to make a couple quick points. You just said load management. I think load management is completely a little bit different. It's more so managing a workload to keep a player fresh and to prevent injury. That's the way I kind of look at it. Load management, like when you think of Kawhi, they're trying to keep him fresh for later in the season to prevent injury. But I hear what you're saying. I think whenever you injure yourself, what does the doctor say, right? Recovery time, right? It gets better. Injuries get better with time. So I don't think it's a crazy point to think that buying Brock an extra 4 days on Thursday compared to Sunday would have made him feel a little bit better. I don't agree with – that's my first point. And the second point is I don't necessarily agree when you say players should push through their injuries, because if that's the case, why wasn't Steph on the court in the Minnesota series? We're thinking that, oh, if they somehow pulled off a game or two, we can save Steph for a game six or a game seven. Well, we didn't try to get Steph to get out there on a game three.
Yeah, no, Jay, I'm not saying you play through everything. Like, sometimes you are, you know what I mean? Like, you are too hurt. Steph was clearly too hurt. In fact, I even said earlier when someone asked, when do you pull someone out? It's like when the best that you could give is essentially worse than your backup. Like, if you can't even run, how are you going to play in a game? The other part of the comparison, and Jay, thank you very much for the call. The other part of the comparison I have trouble with here, though, is you know, the whole idea of basketball, baseball, any other sport versus NFL. When I talk about pushing through injury, it is based on the idea that in the NFL, everyone is hurting every single week, especially when you're about to play on Thursday night. And I only know this because it's what every person who's played in the NFL says. I've never played in the NFL, but every player I know who's played in the NFL will tell you Thursday hurts like hell.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got to push through it. We all know there's a difference between hurt and injured. And so, sure, there's a line where you can't play anymore. So that's not an across the board, just push through it.
Right.
But yes, I do believe that if you feel like you can go play and it's not killing you and you think you can be effective in general, come on. You got a game. Let's get out there and do this damn thing.
Yeah, the Steph Curry one is tough because he is so reliant on movement. Mm-hmm. And it was a groin, right, with Steph Curry? Or was it a hamstring?
A hamstring.
A hammy. So he's not.
Yeah, he had a pulled hamstring.
He's not able
to play.
And his key to his whole game is the runaround movement thing. Moses Moody had, what, a fractured thumb or torn ligaments in the thumb? And he fought through it.
Didn't
shoot the ball well, but yeah. He played as hard as he could defensively and the rest of it. So it's different from sport to sport. But when you look at football and you've got a quarterback, and it's a toe, it's not like it's his throwing hand and his throwing thumb. Okay, now you can't throw. Like against Philly in the NFC Championship, when his arm basically fell off and he's over there trying to throw and he's like, I can't even throw.
Can't throw.
And so you can't play at that point. The toe, you can kind of get out there. You can still throw-ish.
I mean, you see how we congratulate it when it works? Like, I feel like this story got shoved under the rug. Y'all know that Trent Williams admitted after the Saints game that on the way to New Orleans, he was not going to play. He was too hurt to play. And then he said he got there, and he went, ooh, I'm feeling inspired. And then the pregame workout went well. And then he played. And guess what? He played well. And the 49ers won. And nobody said the Niners were stupid for letting him go out there. You got to preserve him for the whole year. We need Trent. We can't play without Trent. He took a risk. And in fact, I mean, of all flimsy arguments, no doctor told him to go play. He just was like, I kind of felt inspired. So I played.
Yep.
Like, is that not irresponsible? What if he had gotten hurt again? But we congratulate it. Why? A, he didn't get re-injured. B, they won. And I would contend the same thing is going on here. A lot of people would feel so differently about this if Brock had just not fumbled and driven him down the field and won the football game. Even if he had come out hurt, but if the Niners were 4-0, we would have been like, bravo, dude.
Yep.
Way to fight through and get the victory. So that's unfair, I believe.
It's funny because we always debate process versus results, and I'm just hearing Lorenzo Neal in the back of my head because one of his big ones was when Philip Rivers decided to gut it out in the NFC Championship game, and he played on a torn ACL.
Yep.
And Lowe's like, we had Billy Volek, who was a good enough backup, and we had a good enough team. If we would have had a healthy QB, we beat New England, and Rivers goes 19-37. He gets sacked once. He throws two picks, and a really good Charger team loses in the AFC Championship. And Lowe always would say, like, I love, you know, Phillip's his guy, and he would fight for Phillip and all the rest of it, but he's like, the dude had one leg. Yeah. And he went out there and played on a tour of ACL because it was the AFC Championship game.
So funny, too, because if you remember what was going on, and I bet Lo has talked to you about this, meantime, while Phillip is doing that, LaDainian Tomlinson has a lesser injury and would not go back in. So Phillip played, LaDainian did not.
Two carries for 5 yards.
There you go. And Phillip was congratulated as a hero for trying. And I get it, that's a playoff game, different dynamic than week four. But he's a hero for trying. Well, here's a teammate going, dude, you might actually hurt us. And so I get this is this is a very fuzzy line, and it's difficult. And I would love some grace to be given to the players, the coaches, and the medical staff for trying to figure out an inexact science. Yeah, they're not going to bat 1,000 on this. But, like, come on, let's try. The guy felt good. He said he barely had any pain. He practiced 6 times, and his backups hurt. Like, yeah, go play. Go play. Let's see if we can win the football game.
Yeah, and if you feel like it's getting better and you feel like you're good enough to go out there and the medical team clears you and stuff, then you go out and you play. And, yeah, it's week four, and you hope that it doesn't get so bad that you're going to miss multiple games after the fact, but you went out and you gave it a try and you lost the game and now you have to sit on Thursday. It's a bummer.
How about Dave in South City? Dave, thank you for the call. What's up?
Oh, hey, I agree with Willard that just let them all rest. Full 60 days off for all the injured players because I feel we have enough talent with our backups to win some games. Might not win them all, but in 60 days, all our players will be healthy. So that's my thought. Thank you.
All right, Dave. I hope that I'm seeing some sarcasm there.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
You know, like that's, if you really want to save them all for the playoffs, let's save them for the playoffs. I'd love to see you get to the playoffs any of them, but let's save them for the playoffs.
And to be honest, if you do that, you might as well wait till 2027 because next year you play the AFC West and the NFC East. So you've got the Eagles, the Commanders, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos.
Ugh.
Your schedule next year, even if you get a last place schedule, your schedule's nasty next year.
Actually, no. Maybe we should get a last place schedule. No, they're right. Come on, Adrian, you're up.
Yeah.
Let's go. I want the Niners to play the Panthers next year. Get in there.
Martinez back to pass. Tonjes runs. We're going to save Jake.
No, not yet. Too good.
Brayton Willis.
Too good. Thank you.
In the flat. Here comes Garendo on a screen. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you can play. Sky Moore, let Sky eat. McCaffrey, we'll see you in the aisles.
Sky hasn't dropped the ball yet this year, has he?
Again, I went through this before, Mark. Your catches available for tomorrow's game, you've got 8. From Kendrick Bourne, this is receivers only. Robinson 1, Moore 1, Valdes-Scantling 1, Russell Gage, if he's elevated, 0. So those are your wide receiver catches.
Gage is still on the practice squad?
I believe he is.
Okay.
He's on that squad. About that squad.
He's on the squad.
You're going to have Willis and Farrell and Tonjes and Sky Moore.
Boy, I hope they don't play George Kittle next week. That would be stupid.
I hope they don't play McCaffrey this week.
Irresponsible.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 3-1. What was the point of winning those first three games if you weren't going to just sit everybody out for the next few?
McCaffrey on pace for 425 touches. That would be a career high.
Yes, it would. Nick in Berkeley is next. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling.
Hey, man, all this talk about losing and going 4-4 and like all this other stuff, man, get in there and win the game. You know, if our offense ain't right, man, the defense got to step up, man. We got to go Chicago Bears defense on these cats, man, and start knocking the quarterbacks around. These other teams, they be laying our quarterbacks out, man. We got to start touching the quarterback. We got to make him feel pressured, and that way, he'll, you know, we got to make him a little restless and get some happy feet in there and shut it down, man. Our defense got to step up solid. They were breaking off chunk runs on us all day. I don't know what our interior line was doing, but we didn't blitz or anything. We had no linebackers really shooting the gaps and none of that, man. Like, we were just getting pushed around. And like I said before, man, the Jaguars, they're a big team, man. They're always having a big team. But that was just ridiculous how we didn't take care of the ball. And late in the game, man, we didn't get a hurry-up offense or anything. The clock management was bad. And, like, Purdy had no business being out there. We should have just rested him and then focused on a league game, you know, with the Rams and whatever happened with Mac Jones or whatever, and then put the other guy in if Mac got hit or whatever. But we got our offensive line cannot just randomly give up hard hits to the quarterback, man. You know, and Purdy got to realize, hey, man, throw the ball away. One thing Mac Jones did in the previous game, he was throwing the ball away. He wasn't getting hit. When he was about to get hit, he just threw it away. And Purdy would be trying to, like, force passes sometimes. He wasn't ready to come back. He missed on the very first play of the game. He missed the long pass to Pearsall. And even like Jennings was down there too. They did like a little curl, and both of them were basically open. But he was late on his reads all day. Like almost every read that Purdy had was late. He was waiting for the defenders was closing on him, and so that's like a sign of rust to me. He wasn't decisive enough, and so then he gets hit later on. I had even as bad as we played that last drive, I was confident that we were gonna come down and win. And I don't care if we got to kick 5 or 6 field goals. Even if we don't get in the end zone, man, make it happen, Shanahan. You're supposed to be this offensive genius. Well, then start doing some crazy plays. Get McCaffrey out and go with Robinson and Galindo in the back. Put McCaffrey out there in the slot or something and use him to deal with the Patriots. You know,
okay, yeah, like, Nick, all right. Yeah, thanks. Cool. Wow. I don't even know what the hell's going on. That was exhausting.
Great take. I like what he said about McCaffrey, though, and that's what I've been advocating and stuff. Get him out there and put him in the slot, and you have Brian Robinson Jr. in the backfield, and you use McCaffrey like that New England guy, and I think he's talking about Edelman and maybe one of those other guys, and that's really what they have to do. You know, yep. Come on, Shanahan, I don't care if it has to be field goals up and down Possibly. The field, but you're an offensive genius, and you got to go out there and get it done.
Did I hear that almost every read by Purdy was bad?
Right. And I don't remember the play he's talking about early where he had Pearsall and Jennings both open deep and he threw the hook route. I see a guy who made mistakes, but
for sure.
He also threw a couple of great big balls. And Shanahan, trick plays. How about a hook and ladder, lateral?
Yep.
How about a shovel pass in the red zone?
Yep.
Those to me count as trick plays and stuff.
How about six drops? Five drops? Six drops?
I'd have to count. Six sounds about right. Kendrick had 3.
Yeah.
McCaffrey with a drop and a fumble.
Yep.
I mean, yeah.
One of Kendrick's drops was like, ooh.
That might have been a house call.
It might have been.
Yep. Although now that we don't do house calls anymore, now it's telehealth. So that might have been telehealth.
If Kendrick had caught that ball right after he got past the first defender, he probably would have headed over toward the Niner sideline. That's the sideline he was going to be heading toward.
Mm-hmm.
And if I were them, as he's at the 30 and then the 25, I'd have been like, dog, run out of bounds.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to need to save you for next week. I don't want you running hard.
Every full speed step is a risk.
You could pull something.
No doubt.
Go down. That's what I would have told him.
Catch and slide. Catch and slide. I actually looked back at that play a number of times. If he catches that, the defense is all running the other way.
He's gone.
Gone.
Gone. Yeah, he's gone. If he can run at all, he'd have made it.
Over under Kendrick Bourne drops tomorrow. 1.5.
I'll take the under.
Okay.
He doesn't drop Mac Jones balls.
There you have it.
He only drops Brock balls.
Man, draftism is what that is.
All right. We got some more calls coming up. Dub Nation preseason right around the corner. 95.7 The Game is tipping things off in style. We got some fun this weekend at Pier 39, okay, on Saturday. It's the Warriors preseason special. Live appearances from Festus and Zaza and Kalena and Tim Roy. Your chance to win tickets. The first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron and the Lakers. And as if that's not enough, we got our guys out there too. E-Dog, Evan Giddings, and Guru are going to be broadcasting live from noon to 4. Hoops, hype, season almost here. Your station for everything Warriors. 95-7 the game. All right, more of your calls next.
The Golden State Warriors all...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Please have a chance, as long as you have Steph Curry and the Sagadoff Strikeman on your team.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Did anybody ask Draymond about that at Media Day? Are you the Sagadoff Strangler or the Sagadoff Straggler?
Ooh, yeah. That's a good question.
And just please describe the nature of your relationship with Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, well,
Draymond,
if you asked Rudy Gobert, you know what he would answer. I believe he is the second strangler. You saw what he did to me during that conflict that involved Klay Thompson. I'll take a 2 for my Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
Honestly, it's one of your better impressions.
Oh, thank you.
It's no Cheryl Bosa.
Come on.
No, come on.
Not Harbaugh.
Not Harbaugh. Anything but Harbaugh.
Yeah, anything but Harbaugh.
Yikes.
Oh, no, babe.
I can't hear you say
oh, no, babe.
Harbaugh in your Cheryl
not
voice.
Harbaugh. Not Harbaugh. Anything but Harbaugh.
Not Harbaugh. Anything but Harbaugh. I'm trying to pep you up. You've had a rough one with the headache situation.
I'm fine.
You've been grinding now.
I'm going to go drink after this.
Well, honestly.
Christy's coming on into the city. We're celebrating tonight.
Good.
Great. Yeah. Let's drink.
You know what that is, right?
It's a celebration sensation.
Cha-ching. You probably, with the headache you're dealing with,
yeah.
You should probably take October off. Because we need to make sure you don't.
That's a good point.
We're making to make sure you don't get re-injured now.
You need to save me for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Matt about that.
Look.
Especially if I get drunk tonight, which I won't. I'm just going to have one. I don't get drunk. You know that.
You took the ferry today, though, right?
I took the ferry, but she's going to drive in.
Ah.
And then that's why I took the ferry. So
gotcha.
We don't hit with two cars. We got to drive home together. It's like the only time we get to hang out. You know what I mean? We're celebrating our, I don't know if this is a thing, but it is kind of for us. This is a dativersary,
okay.
Basically.
Okay.
No, it is. This is when we started. October 1st is a big day for us. October 1st is a big day for us.
And October 3rd is the first time we held hands.
No,
it's a hold hands-iversary.
No, don't do that.
Our smooch-iversary is October 8th.
October 1st.
You guys are adorable.
Well, thanks.
And also nauseating. And I've said this to both of you.
What's that?
It's a nauseation sensation is what it is. Come on, Randy. We're having fun.
Let's go.
It's a baby Friday with a game tomorrow. And, man, a lot of good stuff coming your way tomorrow. I took Bart because I've got a yoner, as my daughter would say.
A yoner?
A loner.
Oh, a loner.
Took my car into Walnut Creek Honda. They take care of me. They take care of my car. And instead of...
Hi, I'm Dan Dibley.
Well, and I love them there. And they give me a yoner. And considering where we park, and this car's got 141 miles on it, so it's got that new car smell.
Nice.
Which, other than like that baby smell, like bakery smell, new car smell, there's a lot of good smells out there, but new car smell's up there.
You like fresh dog smell?
Boy.
No, really. After the dog gets the grooming?
Yeah.
You gotta, come on, get in there.
Doesn't last too long.
Get in there. Why are you shaking your head, Grandy? After the grooming.
Then they just smell like a weird mix of dog and soap.
No, they smell like a dog.
And also wet dog, which is not a good smell.
No, they're not wet. They dry them too. They don't come home wet.
That dog is wet.
I'm not paying you whatever the hell we pay you to groom if they come home wet. You just stick a wet dog in your car? That's the worst. By the way, wet dog, those two words together, that's the worst thing on the planet.
It's up there.
Wet dog. I'm not putting that in my car. Like, I have to sign up for that. In other words, you know we love to take Penny out to Chrissy Field on Sunday morning in the NFL season.
Yeah, November 4th is your dog parkiversary with Christy.
It's actually not, but anyway.
Oh boy.
Like, if I go there, I signed up for that. Therefore, I'm signing up for wet dog. I'm going to bring towels. We're going to mitigate that thing. It's a mitigation sensation.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But if you give me wet dog... that I didn't sign up for? Oh, I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have a wet dog pay you $70 to groom my dog in and bring him home wet.
No
chance.
It's
a no from me dog.
Walnut Creek Honda calling to weigh in on the damage of my car.
I think your car's ready.
The ears are burning. anyway, because of the Yoner being brand new, I didn't want to park into our tight garage situation.
Oh,
so.
I bet. Well, I didn't either.
There you go.
So it wouldn't have been that tight today. You
not
gone.
As tight, yeah. Could have been. Anyway. Yeah, a clean dog is not on Mount Smellmore.
Okay. You've never done it before.
Fair enough. You're right.
Part of it is the comparison to what the dog usually smells like.
Yeah.
So clean dog is like, oh, that's very pleasant.
I don't want to get into this too deep because people will think I'm crazy.
Okay.
But the one big reason why I'm cat over dog is that the cat's going to bathe him or herself.
Yeah, but they don't do
lick
it in
the paw and rub it on their own selves.
I'm
done.
Oh, the dog will do that too.
Yeah,
it's
but
gross though.
Super gross. But you're not going to bathe a cat. Okay, if you're out there bathing your cat, then I can't help you.
They certainly don't pass the smell test.
Christy's daughter
you're bathed, on your game today, Grandy.
Christy's daughter bathed the cat last week. They got a cat too.
They
gave it
like in the tub.
I don't know.
Scrub-a-dub?
I wasn't there.
Okay.
I don't think they did it out of the tub.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think they did it in the sink. Anyway.
Go to the phones and I'll see how much this car is going to cost me.
All right. Troy is in the Santa Cruz Mountains, so pray for Troy. Hi, Troy. What are you doing?
Dillard, you don't have to pray for me. And Wibby, you don't have to pray for me either.
All right.
By the way, gentlemen, I was at the summit at Santana Row out in front of the fish house. And
oh, beautiful.
It was a really cool enjoyment watching all you guys discuss things.
Awesome.
I am fortunate enough to have a connection on the inside of the 49ers that allowed me to be on the sideline behind the 49ers bench. Yeah, I was going to ask for the drip drop, so that's awesome.
You never need to ask for it here, Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Usually when you say something like that, it gets it.
Yep.
So, but anyways, the point I wanted to make was, because we're talking about so much this week, obviously last couple of days about Brock and Mac, whether or not who should have gone and that. I just want to say one thing, because I was standing right behind the whole offensive line and the full offensive coaches. Mac thought, you guys, he was going to get into the game.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He had his helmet on. He had his hands over his ear holes on every single offensive play call. He thought, and I have to believe that at some point, maybe prior to the game or otherwise, that he thought maybe Brock was going to either have to come out or otherwise, right? But he was in tune. Furthermore, George Kittle had an earbud in the entire game,
yep,
by the way, and was up against Mac Jones the whole time, listening to Kyle Shanahan's calls, both offensive and defensive, and talking to Mac Jones about those. So just the body language only, and again, we've talked about Mac Jones's, you know, physical availability. He thought he was going to get into the game, for sure. And Kittle thought he might get into the game. Well, he was in his ear hole the whole time.
And Troy, that's his job, though, to be ready, right? Especially when the guy in front of you has been dealing with something on the physical side. Like, that's his job. So, like, that's an awesome observation, but it's not surprising, right? I mean, that's his job to be ready to get in there.
No, I think you're right. I just think, and I tried to get into signing guru earlier, and I just think some of the speculation is maybe that, you know, Mac was never going to go, right? But Mac's body language was, he thought not only just to your point that he was going to needed to be ready, I think Mac thought he was going to get in there. That's all. That's just what I read.
Yeah. Troy, thank you very much, man. Interesting observations for sure. But yeah, I see that as that's the backup's job. And sure, I know that Brock said, no, I didn't say anything to Kyle during the game about being in pain. That doesn't mean that he wasn't in pain.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he didn't say something to Mac. It doesn't mean that maybe Mac didn't just see it. Like, again, you know, there are team doctors who have reported, like, yeah, he's going to sail balls if he can't step into that foot, and he started sailing balls. So, like, the Niners sideline, I'm sure, at least had their suspicions or their readiness for whatever was going to take place.
And if the toe took a dramatic turn to the worse, then, yeah, Mac Jones is going to be in there.
Get in there.
And he's going to play. He's the backup.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Grandy, what are you about to do on the radio?
It's a good question because not a great question,
on
but a good
fire.
Question. Yeah. Lot to choose from today. You guys had on three amazing guests, Al Michaels, Greg Cosell, and Zach Manassian, GM of the Giants. The Morning Roast had Nick Friedell on, our good friend, who's back covering the Warriors for The Athletic.
Love Nick.
And you guys on the crossover always do a great job with Stani and Goo. So I have decided we're going to hear from Al Michaels
and
Greg Cosell.
Yeah. I mean,
but if you want to hear any of the other stuff, go to the Odyssey.
Yeah, thank you for putting that out there and letting all the second and third place finishers know that they are valued as well. Best of the Game is coming up next with Mark Grandy, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Silly question.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I got a pick to make to maybe get to 17-3.
Oh my gosh, the 20th pick of the year.
And that would put me at 85% if I get it right.
And by tomorrow, when you make the pick, Rams minus 15 and a hook.
Yeah, could make it tough.
Yeah, well, let's see what happens. We'll talk to you tomorrow, okay? For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
We hate him.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.